Just on a programming note, that looks like it's good. What? Right? I'm saying it looks good.
It's
what?
It does taste good.
It does taste good.
It's one of the new plant-based meats.
Oh, you mean meat?
No, it's not.
Okay. No, it looks really good. I'm happy you're enjoying it. So, you can put it back up. I'm just, like, I'm enjoying the wafting aroma. What?
The meat being like your taco.
Exactly. Which we're going to discuss. Just Sunday, I have to go somewhere afterwards. I have to be on time. So if we could start Sunday at 11. Is that okay?
Not good for me.
Okay, I don't have choices. Also, what did we decide about Monday? Regular Monday? What? What's it for the midterm? Okay, so Monday we're off, and Tuesday also is a study time. I'll try to be around either Monday or Tuesday or both winter for some meetings if people are able to do that. But and then Bechina is on the oral Bechina, right? Wednesday for Chazara, and we're to Katan. Okay, so and then Thursday, I think we're going to start just a little earlier, like 10:30. And I think we'll probably be by then. I'll give you Mar Makomos. We'll be doing a little bit of Cherev Kachala, but again, not much, sadly. But Klishares, the sugya on Gimel Amud Aleph. So I'll give you Mar Makomos for that, and also start with the the other issues, the issue of Kuki and Mumar, move quickly, hopefully, through those things. Okay, so that's the schedule coming up. So it's a bit of a lighter week from a sheer point of view, I guess. But, hopefully everybody will do good Chazara and put together some of the things that we've done. And it'll be a good basis also to move forward. So just quickly, before we get back to where we were, just to clarify two things very quickly. Okay, number one, Josh just brought to my attention, very interesting, that the Rabbi Yonas and Akoin Bil O'Neil, when he discusses the machlokas between Rav Nosson and Rabbanan, and the raya, that the contrast between Misasek, Bekadshin, and the required level of Kavana in Kulin, that he uses the word, that you see from the contrast, that Bidiyeved, that the lack of Kavana in Shechita is not Ma'akev Bidiyeved. Now again, I don't know whether I would have made this to you, but it is a curious word. The reason I'm not so sure I would have made the diyuk is because, it just may mean that in Kutchin, Misasek is Ma'akev, B'di'evet. Right? In Kutchin, it's Ma'akev B'di'evet, and the contrast is to Chulin. So the question is, does that mean, meaning in Chulin it's nothing? That's one way to say it. That's the typical way to say it. And in Kutchin, it's Ma'akev B'di'evet. But I guess the way that it's still an extra word, so the way they're learning it is that in Kutchim it's Ma'akev Bidiyeved, and in Chulin it's not Ma'akev Bidiyeved. But that means that L'chatchila, right, it would be preferable that there not be Misasek in Chulin. You have the line? Just the line? Oh, Ari has it too.
Special request from Josh.
Well, he's like fighting for his honor here. A little bit.
He says, you quote Lobo, quote the Pasuk, that the Dai comes on Lobo. The Klal, did the Chulin Shari be the other?
Right. But again, I just wanted to say that it comes in contrast. Just read a couple of,
More lines before that.
Well, yeah, a couple of lines before that. It's not possible.
Right.
But since he does word use that word, the Eved, and the guess whoever put it out, the Motzi La'or did make the Diyuk, right? Whoever that is. Who is it?
It's like a Spanish thing. Foundation for the interesting
Spanish thing?
The guy.
That's so interesting. Why would Spanish people put that out? The Provençal people should put it out. The, you know, the Southern French people.
They put their heads together.
Yeah.
Three people all did it. Karabiel Salahai Salim, Mordechai Rabinovich, and Karabin Steven Bergerson.
Okay. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. I thought like the Riviera people went to the They put it out in Riviera? Or Monaco or something. All right, anyway. The point is they zero in on it, on that word. And like, what's in a word? And then they say, and they point out that, you know, Lomatinu, you know, if the implication really is that the Katkila, according to Rav Nosson, that there should be Kavana, that's very striking. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's, again, I'm not sure whether it's, you know, mokrach at all, because I think it's another way to read the line. But it is an extra word, and it is curious and interesting. But, thank you for bringing that to our attention. In connection with that also, just two things on that sugya again, since you brought it up, that in the sugya on, in the rush on Yud Beis on the base, this is for the Rabbana, not for Abnasan, but, you know, we were asking within the Rabbana, and then we were wondering whether mid the Rabbana Nishma a little bit, you know, to Rabnasan. Again, this whole conversation got started, you know, because I think that the Rabbanan is the foil, and Rav Nosson may, you know, pick up on parts of it. But the it's interesting that the Rush, just one more second, in Chulin, Beis Ches, again in that Sugya Daf Yud Beis, also expresses this, Tamid Naflaha Epila Tshera, Afagab Lo Makavim L'Shum Chatika, El Shiniskavim L'Hapila, Karina Mei V'Zavachta V'Yachalta, Kivit Shiniskavim L'Hapila, V'Alidei Osa Nefila Shachta, Avalim Nafla, Sakan Miyado, Belo Kavana, Hava Kimo, Shem Haisa Munachas Halakora, V'Hipila Saruach, Belo Karina Mei V'Zavachta V'Yachalta, Kivit Shilu Niskavim L'Shum Dava. Right? The Tamid Rav Nosson, Delo Boi Kavana Kla B'Kulin, Midigoli, Rachmanu D'Misasek Posa B'Kadshin, V'Av Chaticha Lo Boi Kavana, Delo Loksim V'Chatachta Lo V'Zavachta Miu, Belo Kavana Shum Davar, Efsha, Midaksiv Zavachta, to have a kolapachos kamobi asisa, the circle is kabein, the shum dvar maisa. What do I want from the language of this rush? Not quite so far as Josh's Rabbeinu Yonason at all. But this is, again, this is what one of the things we were discussing, right? Everybody agrees that there's a difference between kadshim and cool in the low level of Kavanah. Let's put it in a framework, right? And that's what disturbed, in a way, the Bach, remember, in Siman Aleph, when he said, you could have said, Kasher Sivi Sicha just means Vayikra and Shmos, Kavanos, straight Kavanos. Even the Ramban, when he says Kasher Sivi Sicha, links it to the Midbar, Kavanos, right? Anyway, says the Bach, but, maybe the reason we don't say that is because, the discrepancy in Kavanah. Okay? So that's like, the view, that these have nothing to do with each other. There certainly are differences. I mean, the response I would give to the Bach is that, there are, again, as we've been saying all along, if there's a link between Kachim and Kulin, that doesn't mean they're going to be identical in every respect. Number one, as I said the other day, there are certain dinim of kadshim that are noveya from other aspects or roles that it plays. The chepta itself is different. Chepta shel chulin and the chepta shel kadshim are different. To the extent that the chepta requires to be treated in a certain way, kedusha, in other words, we'll get back to that, but obviously it's very critical to our next topic. Moreover, something else I'm going to talk about for a second, also now, It's possible that in Kadshim, so that's number one. Number one point, in other words, being that when you plug this into this other category, there are other aspects of this category that, you know, either require more intense manifestation of the same whatever that is, or that require it, you know, in its own right. Okay. And that second point could be highlighted in the following way. If Shechita plays a certain role in Chulin, and that's taken from the world of Kadshim, so in addition to the fact that it might be felt more intensely in Kadshim, which was I was saying before, you know, by virtue of that being its source, or by virtue of the Chefza and the other, you know, things that it connects with, it also just may be that there's more than one aspect in Kadshim too. Meaning, in addition to the same thing being more intense for those reasons, right, it just may be that in Kadshim there are two dinim. On the one hand, you know, there's the hafgah, there's the matir part, and that's either the same or maybe more intensely expressed in Kadshim. And number two, maybe there's also a hafgah psul achilas mukdashim, or and part of the hagdara of the process of avoda, just like, you know, the... Just like there's a, you know, Kabbalah, Holacha, Nazrika, you know, maybe the Shechita part, in, by virtue of it being one of those as well, and leading from one to the other, has an added element, and maybe the Kabbana or the other things are connected to that totally, completely separate role. Right. indeed, the some of the Achron discusses, I'll get to the Zera Avram in a second for another reason, but in the Zera Avram, and he has this big discussion about this as well. In Siman Beis, Shai brought it to my attention, the piece, that you know, he tries to show that there's a huge machlokas, he thinks Rashi and Tosas, on this question, you know, whether or not Shkitas Kadshim is also mostly about Eva Menachai and Nevela, or in which case mostly Shkitas Kul and Shkitas Kadshim are the same. You know, and especially the Rishonim who think that Shechita is Eina Avoda in Kadshim because of the fact that there's Shechitas Chutz. So maybe that implies that they're the same thing. Maybe that isn't true. Maybe in addition to Avram and Achai and Avela, maybe the Chulin part, there's also a special din of being Matir Achilas Mukdashim. And I'm suggesting beyond that also, being part of the talich, being part of the process that you know, that generates and defines the korban. He also kind of touches on that, which goes to Klishari's question too, meaning whether it's a mekadesh of the korban, and in that sense, being a zebach, you know, being the shechita playing a particular role. Now again, I think the way he portrays it is a very, like, you know, absolute, mutually exclusive, you know, categories. Like either this is connected to Chulin, and that's all that it is, or it's not connected to Chulin at all, you know, and then it's these other things. In my opinion, it could just be, you know, that there's overlap, meaning that especially if we think that, you know, that it came from the world of Kadshim to Chulin, right, but of course it can't carry with it all of those aspects. So then you get the benefit of saying that the Nevela and the Avram and Achai, or the Matir part, if you will, and especially as we're about to, you know, again, reinforce again, that this Matir part isn't just a technicality, a way of turning meat into fruit and vegetables, meaning, I don't mean fruit and vegetables, in terms of, you know, I mean, right, David? You know, not just, you know, that tastes good, enjoy it, meaning you know, something, you know, we found the way, you know, to completely you know, neutralize it, and therefore it's a dvar heter legamri in this state, you know, but rather, you know, the shechita is a chalos, and the, you know, and there's something called basar shechuta. It has to always be betoras basar shechuta. So, you know, especially the idea that that comes from the world of Kadshim, you know, and but of course, you know, in the translation, you know, a little bit of Shavuos, memories, right? You know, dun mino mino, you know, dun mino b'uki b'atra. You know, whenever something comes, you know, from, right, the melting pot, everybody remember? When you import or you export, right, there is, you know, one tendency is always to think that, you know, you're doing it in a pristine way. In other words, the two extremes are, you know, it's exactly the way it was from the place that you got it. You know, it's a total, transfer, we could call it. They say in the name of Dr. Belkin that he used to explain when he was talking about, Torah Mada, or the adjustment of, you know, people or, you know, Jewish community when it, you know, goes from one culture or place to another. I'm not sure if I'm getting this right, but the basic idea is that there's transfer, there's transformation, and there's transplantation, or something like that. Meaning, so uki, you know, dun mina vi uki, you know, biatra, dun mina vi, you know, umina, is really that question. You know, you take something and it's exactly the way it was. You know, it came from there, you're putting it here, and here, it's exactly what it was there. Right? Or the opposite. You know, you can never do that, because whenever you take something, you know, and you relocate it, you know, it becomes, you know, enormously influenced by its new environment. Right? How much, you know, how much does the environment impact? And, of course, the truth always is that there's some measure, you know, of mina, and there's some measure of ukibiatra, you know, and this is the challenge, you know, of doing it properly, right? And, of course, different environments and different things that are transferred are going to play this question out, you know, in a different way. So, you know, if you take Shavuos Eidos Dinim and you put him in Shavuos HaPikadon, or vice versa, you know, how does that really work? So that's what we're talking about here also. Let's say the world of, you know, let's say Shechita really comes from the world of Kodshim, and now you're, you know, kind of transferring it, or are you transforming it, you know, by your transfer, or are you just transplanting it? The transplanting idea, I guess, is the idea where you're, you know, kind of acknowledging, you know, both elements. Like you're taking this thing, and it's largely, goal is, and the, you know, result is going to be that it's, you know, you've done a successful, you know, cultural adaptation, whatever you want to call it, you know, but that doesn't mean, you know, because it's impossible to accomplish, or maybe it's not even desirable to accomplish, you know, that you've eliminated the impact of the new environment. You want to take the benefits and the opportunities from that new environment, right? And you also have to be aware of the challenges, you know, too. So this is like an endemic issue whenever, you know, whenever you talk about anything. Just that, you know, it depends a lot on the details. Why am I telling you this? So Shechita's Kodshim is the source of Shechita. You could say that, you know, it's lock, stock, and barrel. It is what it is in both. That's kind of what the Bach was saying. Or at least he was assuming that, you know, to the extent that it's meaningfully transferred, you know, from one to the other, that the Kavana part is, you know, part of that. And you could say, you know, the opposite. You could say, and therefore there should be no discrepancies, or at least certain discrepancies don't make sense. You could say, you know, you can't make this transfer because it's so much part of its own framework of the Kodshim, you know, that whatever you take out of there is just going to be skeletal and not recognizable. You know, you could also say that, you know, there are elements that you can take out and other elements you can't take out. You know, if there are more than one din or more than one dimension of what Shechita accomplishes in Kodshim, you know, then, you know, maybe one or two of them, and but not the third and the fourth, you know, are able to be relocated. Or even, you know, what you're relocating itself, forget about, maybe there's only one din and you're relocating it, that doesn't still mean, you know, that there aren't going to be some adjustments, even within it, in terms of the level of its intensity or how it's being, you know, applied, etc. That's essentially what I was saying just a second ago. So I don't think it's so pashut you know, as some of the acronym make it, I think it's very reasonable that, that it's a little bit more nuanced. But in the end of the day, this is still the idea. So what does that do with the bigger question? Just one more second. So the Bach is one view, and I think there are basically what I'm saying now, two or three ways to counter that Bach if you still want to go in that direction. And then, you know, you even wonder whether Kavanah still isn't a kind of a lechatchila, at least an ideal paradigm, something that's relevant. Again, if it's just because of the chetah shel kodshim or the process of avoda and those things don't exist, then the Kavanah part of what's required in kodshim is totally irrelevant to kulin. It's not part of its transplantation or maybe not even its transfer, frankly. But if you think, you know, you might think that, you know, you're not going to get it on that level and it's not going to be ma'akev or it's not going to express itself in that way because it just doesn't make sense in this new context. But the yisod, assuming that it is still part of what it is that we take from the world of kachim, is still there. So then you're going to be looking for, and especially if you think that it's there because, you know, part of what is taken is this idea of not a physical, turning it to fruit and vegetables, you know, but a matir, you know, by virtue of this, you know, role that it plays. So then echoes of Kavanah are still a good thing to look for. Okay, so Josh's Rabbi Yonah's son, if it means that, is great. You know, I'm excited by it. I'm just not sure whether, you know, I think it's a foolproof deal. But I do think it's something that's curious. And if that's really what he means, I think it's amazing. In a way, that's a counterpoint, you know, to the Bach. Somewhat. Not completely, but somewhat. But, well, let me get back to this. Everybody agrees on the other side. Everybody agrees you don't need the level of a Kavanah in Kodshim and that you have in Kodshim in Chulin. And we're trying to deal with that. That's what we're talking about right now. Right? Does everybody agree also that Shechita isn't just physical, you know, reality? Sure. Because then at the end of the day, it would just, you know, depend what the simanim on the tzavar, you know, look like. So there's some formal element to it. You know, if we're excluding any people, let's say Akum, and if we're excluding, you know, coincidence and circumstances, the wind, right? So then it sounds like it's a little more than that. But you can still say, okay, you need koach gav and zikderus akasiv. You need, it has to be something that is done, you know, actively rather than, you know, just it is passively or in the tzitz. Fine. But then what you would do is you would say, A, you're going to limit koach gavra, you know, as much as you can. We saw that already in the Rishonim, the struggle about that question. But you're not, you know, and you're also not going to say that koach gavra is like the minimum kavanah that you require. You're just going to say that you need koach gavra at least. Zavach tov yachalta, you still have to do a zvicha. There has to be an active zvicha. Oh. And if you look at the Rambam in Perik Beis, of Hilchos Shechita, again, the emphasis of the Rambam on this point, and that's why this is here in this pile, right? This is here. Rick and I, we discuss these things. Not so much, you know, like most people discuss things. Like, you know, actually, it's like a meeting of minds. No?
Yeah.
So, here in Perek Beis, just the language of the Rambam, again, it's hard to know, because, well, where is it? Halacha Yud Aleph, right? Ein shechita sachulin tzricha kavanah. Right. Right. So even as the Rambam, again, there's nothing So mechudash in this Rambam. But there's a couple of extra words where the Rambam seems to be making very clear that the requirement of koach gavra is a very limited requirement that has nothing to do with kabbalah. Okay? Contrast that, obviously, with Rabin Yonason's perspective, if that's really what it is, that's even more mechudash, but just with the Rush, which I think is in between. So the Rush says here, on Yud Beis, another Rishonim, I think I have this language, less so, Talmud Naflo Yipilak Sheira, Apagav Delo Mechavin L'Shum Chaticha, L'Shiniskavin L'Hapila, Karina Bey V'Zavach Tov Yachalta. Kivin Shiniskavin L'Hapila, V'Yidei Osa Nepila Shachta. Avlim Naflo Sakin Miyado, Belo Chavona, Havikamoshim Haisa Menachas Ala Karabi Pila Asa Aruach, Delo Karina V'Zavach Tov Yachalta, Kivin Shiniskavin L'Shum Davar. V'Tamar Avnachim Lo Bay Kavona Klau B'Chulin, Midgalay Rachmar the Misasek Posa V'Kadshin. V'Afil Chaticha Lo Bay Kavona, because against the Rabbanan, the Liksa V'Kotachno V'Zavachta. Mil below kavana shum dabar efshar midiksiv zavachta the havel chol apachos kamo vasisa the torch liskabin l'shum dvar maisa binin acher lo mikri koach gavra. So all I'm trying to say is that if you read the Rush and you read the Rambam, you know, both with kind of a magnifying glass, you know, you come away with slightly different impressions. In the Rambam, you get the impression that koach gavra has nothing to do with even a minimal level of kavana. It's just a din in koach gavra. But in the Rush, you get the impression that even for Rav Nosson, koach gavra is a minimum requirement of kavan. Okay? So that is, I think that's a very important issue. Having said that, one other thing I just want to talk about in terms of that sugya for now, and that is the Rajba, just because a couple of people asked me about it. And because again, I think there's some interesting, I didn't follow through with this, there's an interesting element just to emphasize. The Rajba, as we discussed, basically on Yud Beis, really the Ramban also, discusses Tosis's question, namely, yeah, sorry.
Just one, I'm going to stop there for this, but just one question coming about the Rimu Ramil, is that if it really is true that he requires Kavanah Chatzila,
not requires, or at least he prefers. Yeah.
He prefers Kavanah Chatzila in Hulin. That would be a Kavanah closer to Kushin, and then a Banan would require in Hulin. Which is
well, it doesn't mean if there are Banan doesn't. I mean, you don't know in the Rima O'Neill that he's saying what you were trying to say the other day. You were trying to say the other day, and what I considered a little more contrarian, and that is that, you know, maybe Rabbi Nassan, you know, is actually more into, you know, because Rabbanan, they can have a middle thing. Rabbi Nassan, it's all or nothing. That was what you were trying to say.
Right.
So now you're following through with that and saying, so maybe this Rima O'Neill, you know, is only true for Rabbi Nassan, but it's not true for the Rabbanan.
Rabbanan, I'll tell you what you need to do.
Right, but that doesn't mean that there's no evidence within Rabbi Yonasan Mil Neil that you wouldn't say about the Rabbanan and Kol Shekain for them is a lechatchila to have more. I mean, most people would think that that is the case. And there's no evidence otherwise. It's afilu Rabbi Nasan only thinks that this is b'di'eved. And the b'di'eved for the Rabbanan is on a higher plane. But that doesn't mean that the lechatchila is on a lower plane.
The other thing is within Rabbi
Nasan. Right, exactly. Because it's a much bigger Kiddush to say in Rav Nosson. And again, it remains open totally. There's no additional reason to think. It goes back to the same discussion we had the other day.
Right.
And there's, do you think that, you know, this by the Rabbanan compromising, they've already given up on the Kodshim model for Chulin, right? And therefore they wouldn't even have a Lechatchila, right? Or do you think that, you know, they're Kavanas Chaticha is an acknowledgement, you know, albeit more moderate. How can that be? Reasons I just discussed before, three or four different models of that, right? Of there being some Kavana element even in Chulin, but and related to or based on the inspirational model of Kachim. In which case, if Rabbi Yonason HaKohen Mil O'Neill says that about Rav Nosson, then Kol Shekein is true for the Rabbanan. So I don't see any further, you know, I don't see any further in that. Okay. So just one other thing of the Rajpa. Yeah. Say that again. This asek b'shchitas kadshim, is that the vela? I don't think so. Right, I think so. Yeah, that's an, if you found somebody who said that, that would be probably quite sensational. Yeah, but I don't think you have to say that at all. Let me look at that again. Okay, that's a good. That's an interesting thing to look into. Okay. So just very quickly, the Rajba has three deos to resolve the question of Godel Omino Gam. Again, the same question Tosfos asks is, how do you know from our Gemara that you don't require Kavana, and that we don't hold like the Rabbanan? Right, the question being, you know, Godel Omid al Gabav works in, you know, other areas, right? It works in Chalitza, would have been worked in Chalitza in theory, right? If there were other problems, it works in Gittin, right? So I go, what's the issue of the problem? So Tosfos made the distinction, as we know, between Godel Omid al Gabav Dachem Ro'enoso, two levels, and we talked about the Gemara in Sukkah. Fine. Which basically means that in Achanami, according to the Rabbanon, Godel Omid Agabav would supply Kavanas Chaticha, just that Acherim Ro'enoso, which is just for kilkel purposes, doesn't. The second day, the Rajba has a day, though, another Chachmei Svarad as well, and that is, I just didn't mention this, that it's to solve the whole question a different way, and that is, in Achanami, Acherim Ro'enoso is Kavana. And that even Acherim Ro'enoso, either the, you have to say, okay, for that view, either Achim Rozoso means Godel Omid al Gabav, or, you know, or maybe Godel Omid al Gabav can get by with Achim Rozoso. No, it's not clear that there are two levels. You don't need to say anymore there are two levels. But maybe the minimal shear, or if we're dealing with the maximal shear, would work for the Rabbanan. The only thing is, I guess the Kiddush would be to say this in terms of Acherim Ro'enoso would work for the Rabbanan. What the Mishnah calls Acherim Ro'enoso would work for the Rabbanan. The diuk in the Gemara is that it sounds like Acherim Ro'enoso is effective not because of Kavana, but because of neutralizing Kilkel. But in Achanami, the level of Acherim Ro'enoso is good enough. So that ends up being an interesting argument in general about the criterion of Godel Omid al Gabav Acherim Ro'enoso in general, like what do you need, and more specifically for the Rabbanan, right? For the Rabbanan here, what works? According to Tosfos, only Godel Omid al Gabav, Shemazhirim and Madrichim and Mechavnim and so on. Whereas, you know, a looser, you know, kind of a thing would work according to the Rashi, because the Diuk is just in the why, not in the what. So is that just that's an interesting argument in general. Since, as we noted, Godel Omid al Gabav, let's just call it that for the moment, right, can be understood in different ways. Right, who's really doing the job? You know, the Godel is doing the job, you know, Agav, the Katan is like the Yada Richta, if you will, or just, you know, a way of being Mitzarev, the Pu'ula, you know, but the, you know, the Das, the Godel is everything, or is it, you know, some sort of combination, right, of Pu'ula and Kavana, or whatever, or is it that the opposite, that, you know, that the, as long as the supervision, you know, that kind of charges the katan's action. The goof of that always, you know, with regard to that question, the question of what Godel Omid al Gabav requires, or whether Acherim Ro'enoso, a looser, is enough, should be relevant to that question. So this is an important second perspective. But the one I brought it to just zero in and just for one more second is the third perspective. The one that I mentioned, but I just never got back to how it fits in here. And that is the third perspective of the Rajba's answer, Alex? About Shlichus? You saw it? You saw it? Israel? Whatever is Nitan L'Shlichus, Omid al-Gabav is going to work for, and whatever is not Nitan L'Shlichus, no. So again, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's Midin Shlichus. I was suggesting that it's a way of establishing whether it's kind of a davar shebegufo you know, or something that you can kind of combine or parcel or have influence. You know, it's a different kind of an action. But just in terms of the application of this, just to make it clear, so the what the Razra actually says is he's trying to explain how could it be that Godel Omid al Gabav works in Gittin and in other sensitive areas of Halacha, but it's not working here. So what he basically says is that everything in Shechita depends not on the Bailim. You know, things that are nitan l'shlichos are basically bailim-oriented halakhos. Right, and therefore you can farm them out. Right? You know, my marriage, right, is my domain. It's my jurisdiction. Therefore I can even have a shliach do it on my behalf. It's a little bit, sounds counterintuitive, but it's not. Right? That's the, as we've discussed many times, called sheyesh of a shlichos, sheyesh of a tenai. Also, same idea, as the Tosfos says in Ksuvas on Daf Ayin Daled. What does shlichus and tanai have to do with each other? It's about jurisdiction. It's about bailim. So if I'm a bailim, I can also, on my legal, you know, actions or my legal status, you know, I can have people can help me out because, you know, it's objectively discernible that they're working for me. And again, it isn't about a physical action that I need to do. It's, you know, it's about discharging my legal responsibility, my legal rights, prerogatives, whatever it is. So all that is nitan l'shlichus. But then the bailin matters. Like the shliach can't do something, you know, and get into the kiddushin that the bailin doesn't approve. It's the bailin's life. And he's in total control. He just, you know, jurisdiction it out, if he wants. Oh. But in shchita, that's his point. In shchita, he says the kavana issue in shchita always depends on the shochet, not on the bailin. You know, I own the behemoth, but the, you know, the shochet is somebody else. You know, so the kavana question is up to him, right? If I don't have kavana, you know, but he does, then there's kavana in the shechita, you know, and vice versa. You know, I could have all the kavana in the world, you know, and he doesn't. But this is the point I want to make, and that is that shechita then is a physical action. But it's a physical action that needs to be invested by the actor, the person who's doing the action, you know, with, you know, a certain stature. That's what the Rashba is saying. That's a very critical idea. Yeah.
According to the Rashba, must Gadol Omid al Gabav Legabe Lishma by Gittin, must he himself be the Baal?
Say that one more time.
Must the Gadol Omid al Gabav be the Baal himself by Gittin in order to be appointed the Kavan as a Shliach, or can it work even?
No.
So then, in what way is it really Bidin
Shliach? Well, he's saying think categories like Gittin, which are Nitan Shliachos. He's not saying that the Gadol Omid al Gabav works Bidin Shliachos. He's saying if it's an, that's a good raya for what we're saying, and that is that this idea that you have a more flexible, let's say, definition, you know, about, you know, what, you know, how you get the pieces together, you know, for the threshold that you need in terms of the quality of the performance, bedavar sheyesh bo shlichos, you know, those components, you know, can be applied, can come from different places. As opposed to when there's, we'll call it a davar shebegufa if you want, but you know, a more, the matir, or the action is more of a physical one, right? Again, shechita is not a davar shebegufo in the sense that the bailin have to do the shechita themselves. I don't mean it that way. It's not like wearing tefillin.
One sense that it can't change from kuthar to yisrael.
Say that again?
Or in the sense that it can't change from...
Right, exactly. Right. So I'm saying, that's why it's not... You don't need shlichus from the bailin. You need to know that it's a category... Right, in which, you know, the legal actions are happening. Again, shechita is a legal action, but it's also, you know, also very much a physical legal action, is what I'm trying to say. Okay, so that's an important perspective. Now let's get back to the other thing, finish up the other thing we're talking about, and that is, again, we discussed all this stuff. What about the question of the role of matir? We'll get back to, we'll see this again. So we were talking about two issues. One was a Toloim. Yotzei, it seems like it should be Yotzei. According to the Rambam's understanding of the Toloim, I don't know if Rami had any luck, or, you know, he's in the middle of the research, right? If the Toloim were, you know, something that developed, let's say, after the Shkita Sabasar, right, then why not to say it's kind of like Yotzei in a Heter? It's like Toloim would emerge from other kosher, you know, foods. So what's the problem with that? And yet the Rambam reads the Sugya, you know, that's what we're talking about, and that's the problem. And the Gemara's language, and some of Zayin Odeis and Kulin, is very suggestive that this is something to do with the Matir of Shkita. Again, if you interpret the Gemara like the Ravid, and like most Rishonim, which is that these Toloim precede the Shkita, then the language of the Gemara is, you know, still good language, but it doesn't have that same kind of meaning. You don't have to put it in quotations. You don't have to double underline it or anything. Meaning all it's saying is, Shechita needs, you know, Basar needs Heter Shechita, and these Toloim, you know, come from the time when it was Avram and Achai or Nevela or potential Nevela or whatever it is. And therefore, the Shechita wasn't practiced on these Toloim. It's, you know, it's a timing thing. But according to the Rambam, you know, these are post-Shechita Toloim. So what do we mean that, you know, so who cares whether the Shechita requires? So that turns out, according to the Rambam, by the way, you know, that Gemara is a Lamda Shalai. No matter what, it's a Lamda Shalai. What the Lamdas is, you know, is open to question. Not that we need proof for that. It's said in the past, yeah. You have that all the time. And, you know, some Pesachdas just read that way in general. But, okay, so that's one. And the second one was the Gemara Menachos, which implies that there could be Bitol and even the Tumas Nevela in the case of Shechita. And again, that is generally problematic if you think that Bitol doesn't change the status of the Miut into the Rov. It just, you know, negates or neutralizes the miut status, right? But here you need to give it the rov status. And again, these are issues in general, kamakaba batel, you know, whether you, you know, need and use the, you know, the numbers of the miut, you know, to continue to work for the rov, you know, whether you can eat everything at the same time, you know, or you definitely can't eat anything at the same time, depending on Eastern answer. So these are big issues in general about Bitol, which we'll talk much more about. It's also clear that, yeah, so what I was suggesting, this is the Avnei Nezer was bothered by this, Gemara. Later, Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Kovetz Aris, he doesn't quote the Avnei Nezer. The Zera Avram, Shai brought to my attention, does quote the Avnei Nezer. Basically, he just quotes this Avnei Nezer in our Kaim, which makes sense. What they're trying to say is that whatever you say about this general halacha, which is probably debatable, again, Rukhana Wasserman has it as a debate between, you know, he projects it as the Tosis and the Ramban, but the Bali Tosis in general are much more open to the notion of, you know, of transformation through Bitol, and that the Ramban is very wary of it. I think I mentioned last time, there seems to be like three models. So visit that just for a second. One is the idea that, you know, if the Dovar Handis Batel, try to be careful, you know, is going to be not just Batel, but, you know, completely subsumed, you know, or redefined by the Rov, that can only be because there's something about it, right, which makes, you know, which is responsible for its miut status, for the status that applies to this miut, and that something, you know, has been butthelled. It's been attacked and destroyed. And that implies, that's what he means by there being a din. And the suggestion of Rav Elchanan Wasserman is that there's only a din Iser, there's no din heter, because heter is default, and Iser is generated by the Torah, by the halacha, etc. And therefore, there's a din. Again, this idea that there's a din, isur, no din hefter, you could argue with on both sides. You could say isurim, you know, again, the bigger philosophical question is the default question, you know, about the world and the world of halacha. But, you know, of course, it makes sense to say that, you know, you could take the view that nothing, you know, has a din, and that the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Torah and the Halacha just say this is that and that is this, whether it's a Teirim or Isurim. This is a Dvar Heter and that's a Dvar Isur. Just like, you know, physically things are as they're presented, so their Isur status, their legal status, you know, comes with that as well. There's no dinim of anything. It's just, you know, identities which have properties. Some properties that they have are Isur and Heter. Or you could say that, you know, everything is a din, you know, that the, especially when it comes to Isur and Heter, but that it's in, you know, equal across the board. This has a din Isur and that has a din Heter. Again, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman's presentation is just particularly interesting for the notion that, you know, this gufa is a difference between Isurim and Heter. I would have thought, you know, you could say the opposite, and you could say what I just said, and you could also say it depends on particular Isurim and particular Hazerim, right? Which we are going to end up saying about Shkita anyway, as an example. As Shai brought to my attention last time, I said that maybe this depends on Sveka Doraisa L'Chumra, you know, being, you know, Doraisa or Drabanan, the debate between the Rambam versus Ramban and Rajba and Ran and others. Some question whether other Rishonim really hold like the Rambam. There are a group of Achronim that thinks that the Rambam is a popular view, maybe even the popular view. The general view is that the Rambam Shita is more Mekudash. Maybe it depends on that. Maybe. I mentioned Kol Nenim and Olamazeh, Blah Bracha, Rizad Moal, and the Yerushalmi about Lashem Ha'aretz and Meloa, in terms of Ami Rasa L'Gavoa, Kimisi Rasa L'Hedjo. I think these are all relevant issues, but none of them are Mukhrach. So Shai brought to my attention at the end of this year that, you know, we had encountered this issue a little bit also in the Ramah, right? The Ramah, in contrast to the Ran and others in Sanhedrin, you know, makes a distinction between Eber Menachai and Heter Basar. And, you know, he has an interesting line, which at the time I noted. Others may disagree on this particular point. Right, his argument is that Eber Menachai is an Iser, where the Torah really says Basar. It's called, I guess, this terminology, it was given the status of Iser, Din Iser, or at least it's described as a Kapteshal Iser, by its identity, that could also still be. But that Basar was also Aser La'ada. But that was also because simply there was no Heter, no forthcoming Heter. Right? That works well with the Yerushalmi about Lashem Ha'aretz and Meloa. It looks well with Kol Nenim Olam Hazeh Blah Bracha Reis and Meloa. I just want to point out that none of these things necessarily dispute what Rabbi Chanan Wasserman said. Although again, I think you could dispute it. I'm suggesting in 1, 2, 3, 4 different ways maybe. There also could be a difference between, I'm using this terminology loosely for the moment, Isurei Gavra and Isurei Chefza, or Chefza Shel Isur and Isurei Gavra, meaning, yeah, I don't mean the Nether type. Meaning, what the Ramah may be saying is that, and what the Gemara may be saying, a little harder to say this about the Yerushalmi, is that, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam owns the world in addition to everything else. Forget about the status that, you know, was invested into different things. But he's the, you know, the Borei Ha'olam, Konei Shemayim Ba'aretz, right? So as the creator, he's the owner. We talked about that in past years. And he's also the owner, in addition to being the creator. So to take his, you know, stuff, I guess, without, you know, without permission is a violation. And that's kind of what the Ramah is saying, and that's what the Gemara is saying in case of the Mevarchin. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's usur as chefza until it's mutter. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's a din, you know, you need a din heter. That just means that there's an Isar Gabra, and it's actually Me'ila, which is Gazel. Both Yerushalmi actually is also kind of Me'ila, Konamos, right? And the more brachos for sure. And that may be what the idea here as well. Like, you don't have a right to eat something unless he tells you, because he's the owner. That doesn't mean, you know, that it's usur until it's made mutter, and it's being made mutter, you know, is a din heter. Whereas Eivar Menachai, for example, maybe was given a din iser, meaning he was created as a chetzah shel iser. Maybe even an iser chetzah, but I don't need that at the moment. Again, the nedarim is a little bit more, of course, the idea of amirasa levoot, amirasa lehedjot, the way the Rishalmi is explaining it, because that sounds like everything is hektesh, you know, until it's not. And therefore, you're cluing into that when you pronounce, when you say, you know, kol hecha di isa begaza durachmana isa. I think it's a really interesting problem, really interesting issue. I mentioned of David Bonfield. I looked it up again just to make sure. It's on the test, not on the Fidalet. But Tess on his base, it's a very interesting piece. But he talks in terms of Sveika Daraisa Lechumra. But it's a curious thing. He says, Sveika Daraisa is Lechumra, but that shouldn't, my words now, that shouldn't mislead you into thinking, you know, that a Suffolk Iser, you know, is really osur. I'll explain what I mean in a second. Like, you know, chaleb or dam or pigal or nosar or whatever, that the sveikam, they're also osur. They're just only mutter, but, you know, when you have a vadai heter, he says, because that's not true. Really, really, the Torah, this is fascinating, really the Torah only was osur, a vadai pigal and a vadai nosar and a vadai you know, the Vela. It's just that there's also a separate din, and that is that, you know, that, that man, again, I'm standing what he says a little bit, but this is what he says. There's a separate din, and that is that you should be machmir in a Suffolk Doraisa. If you're not sure whether this is a Vadai, it's not that, basically what he's saying like this, it's not that Suffolk Nevela is also Osur, it's only Vadai, not Nevela, is Mutter. It's that if you have a Suffolk, whether this is a Vadai Nevela, then, you know, then you shouldn't rely, you know, on the fact that it's not. So what I think he means by that, I think that's a little mechudash, right? You might have said, if you hold Sveik of the Raisa of the Kumra, then really, even Sveik Iser is Osir, and it's only Vadai Iser, Vadai Heter, rather, you know, which is Mutter. And then from the other side, you could have said, oh, and that's what the Rambam means, the opposite. Rambam holds Sveik of the Raisa, Minat Torah is Lekula, because he's saying, like, you know, the only thing that's really osur is a vadai. The suffix is mutter. By the way, Rav David Bonfield gets into all this because he's trying to explain, you know, the opposite on Bedikas Chametz. And there are some other reserves too. And that is that the famous Ravid, that Bedikas Chametz, you know, should not be treated as a Sveika Drabana Lekula because it's nitkanala suffix. So when you have a suffix bedika, this is a machlokas for shonet. But in that sugya there in Tzachim, the Rambam and the Ravid, and then the Ravid in the Hasagas al Arif, actually a steer in the Rambam. But anyway, or whatever, a steer in the Ravid actually. But and that is that bedika chametz, instead of saying sveikad rabbanan and lekula, which is what Rashi and Tosis and most of shonim say in Tzachim, but what the Ravid says and Rabbi David Bonfield is trying to provide further philosophical, I guess, justification for, is that certain things are nitkina ala safek. And therefore you don't apply sveka drabana lekula to that. The din drabanan is that whenever you're not sure, you have to do a bedika, the vat. Okay. You have that like in demai also. The din drabanan of demai, right, is there's a lot of evidence that's like a badai hafrash, there's a status of demai. We don't just treat it like a regular suffix. Because it's a, whenever there's a suffix haprasha, again, we'll find something very similar in a minute, in a couple minutes, I hope, or not Sunday, in the Ramban. Right? Suffix, you know, suffix tumma, you know, versus a rabbin, suffix tumma versus a yachid. So this is an interesting question, whether the default status, doraisa, of sveikos, So again, what I think Rabbi Donfil really means is that there are two different issues. One is on the chepza level. Again, I don't necessarily mean iso chepza. I mean chepza shel iso. Namely, what is really, you know, objectively, like we would know, did the Torah say that safek, like bedikas chametz, that mitkanal safek, did they say that about isurei Torah? So Rabbi Donfil saying, no, for sure not. The only thing that's really osur is vadai de bela. Vadai people, vadai noser, vadai chazer, right? But there's a din, kind of a din of, we'll call it shmira for the moment, and that is shmira doraisa, and that is that you should be mistayeg, you should be careful, and you should avoid even a safek. That's like the chovas hagavra. It's not because of kepta shalisa is that. So these are all very interesting questions, and they go to this question of, you know, is there a din heter, a din iser, only one or the other, or does it depend on particular heterim and isurim? Sometimes, you know, it's just the identity of a thing. Sometimes it's like a superficial, additional, not superficial, like an added layer of the, it's a really interesting question. Okay, good. So that's the first question. And on that, Rav Bochan of Asim is convinced that everybody, including, you know, the balitosis of the opinion, that there's no din heter, heter is a default, there's only a din iser. And I'm disputing that in three or four, I'm saying that one could dispute that in three or four different ways. I think it's not such a pasha thing at all. Not in this direction, not in that direction, certainly even chalik in different things. Secondly is the idea of nasa ke heter, or nasa ke iser, the idea of a transformative impact, you know, with the environment or the numbers change the identity. Obviously, that can only be a legal idea, and even then, it's a little hard to understand it, but there are Rishonim who use that language, and definitely Makoros, you know, that convey that idea. He thinks that's really the machlokas between the Ramban and Tosis. If you have, maybe, you know, Bittel can affect the din, but that's not going to help you to be Mevatel HaTeirim, because there's no din, from his point of view. And therefore, the only way that it really works is that the Heter, because it's a miut, is nasa, you know, kirov, kiiser. So it's not that the din heter is batel, even though it remains its legal identity, like it's, okay, shkuta, let's talk about, although we're going to change that in a minute. It's shkuta, but it lost its heter because of its din, right? It's that it's no longer shkuta, you know, it's being overwhelmed by the numbers of Nevela, turns it all pieced into Nevela. A hard idea to understand. And then the third one, as I mentioned before, is the idea of rubo kekula. And that is, we're not saying that the miut, you know, itself as a cheftza, you know, the particular, each molecule, like, turns into something else legally because of its environment. We're not saying that. What we are saying is, which is the second view, what we are saying is that we look at the totality, or the totality dictates, not the particular molecule. And therefore, when you eat, like, you know, a spoonful of this taroves, we don't say, ah, what's in the spoonful? We say it's a spoonful of, you know, the primary, you know, force of it. That's the idea of rubo kekula. And that might be, by the way, behind chaticha nasus nevela, according to some, you know, some views as well. Chatichas Nas Nevela is an example. It's the typical example of Chatichas Nas Nevela, and some Rishonim think that it's limited to this, Basa Mechala. Right? And the idea of Chatichas Nas Nevela is, again, you have a percentage of Basar, a percentage of Chala, right? If it's enough to make it Basa Mechala, as a Taroves, right? And then whatever falls into, let's say you had, 50% basar, 50% challah, right? So then, and then a piece of it falls into, you know, a vat of challah. So this is the question, chaticha nasas nevela, is the question, you know, of whether or not, you know, do you say, oh, well, only 50%, maybe there was only 50% of what fell in, you know, was chal. Oh, I'm sorry, was basar. So in terms of the numbers, you know, that'll be completely, if it's more than shishim, let's say that'll be completely bata. Or you say, no, the totality of what fell in is called basar b'chalav, and therefore you have to measure the full of it, right, going forward. That's called chaticha nasis nevel. It's an expression. Chana, they sometimes call it. Okay. Not chana, but yeah, chana. Not with a nun sofit, but with like two nuns. So, the idea of chanan is an idea, basically, of redefining identity. So some Rishonim say you can do that. Popular view of the Rishonim is to say, Daraisa, you can really only justify that in Basar B'chala. Because Derech Bishul Asra Torah, and it's a new creation, it's the composite. There was Basar, there's Chalav, there's no longer Basar and Chalav. Right, there's this new chetza called basar b'chalav. But if you had the vela, you know, that fell into, you know, shuma or you know or whatever it is, or chalav that fell into shuma and whatever it is, and you have an iser and a heter, right? And it's not, there's no din Torah that there's a chalos, you know, of nevela hyphenated shchuta, right? Like there is basar b'chalav. So no new identity. So then you always are, you're not going to be the shire according to the whole thing. Why should you assume, you know, that what fell into something else is the full shear of the Yisr? Maybe part of it is Heter, right? And then there are other Rishonim saying, no, there is such a Chalos. So this is part of the issue. The more you think that it's enough to make it Nasa or Nefach, you know, then you'll be Mishire by the whole. And or if you say Rubo Kakulo, that's a question. When you say Rubo Kakulo, do you keep saying Rubo Kakulo? Because it depends. Are you relating to the totality of it? Or are you really relating to the pieces that create the totality? But as long as you relate to the Rubo Kakulo, so you're eating, let's say you had meat, right? And no, forget about meat. Let's say you had nevela and you had kosher meat. Right? Let's say the kosher meat is the rope. So what we're saying is the whole composite is kosher meat. Every bite that I take may have nevela in it. That's the special chiddush, you know, that we go by rove. You know, not that we think that what you're eating, you know, changes, the molecules change, but, you know, you can eat on the basis not of the molecules, but of the framework, of the whole. But whenever that's not true anymore, we don't look at it that way anymore, or we have reason not to look at it that way anymore, or we have reason to look at the composite, you know, in a different way. Since we're not saying that it was chemically, halachically transformed, because it never was, if the din was batel, it's hard to say that's ever cause of an air. But if the identity is compromised or refined, and especially if it's rubo kikulo, then saying cause of an air, we circumstances change and we reassess it. Now it's a different, you know, combination of composite. Okay. Spending too much time on this. But okay. Anyways, that is the, so the Rabbi Chanan of Asaman, those are his three models, even though he doesn't say these are my three models. But then the question is, how do you, if that's Ramban, doesn't like that or has trouble with that, he says Ramban's ambivalent about that third one. So then how are you going to explain the implication of the Gemara Menachos that that Shkuta can be Betela to Nevela? And the Avnezer was bothered, not, he didn't have the three models, he just said, there's a clear machlokas over Rishonim, whether you say, you know, the miut becomes, assumes the identity of the rove. And if you hold that that's not true, or why doesn't everybody have to admit that that's true, based on the Gemara in Menachos? It can't be that there's no way out of it, because there are plenty of Rishonim who think it's never true. And then Avnei Nezer brought in the Tolaim, and Rabbi Chanan of Asaman also brought in the Tolaim. So again, what they're all saying to answer this question is the same idea. I just said the other day, I thought that, you know, Rabbi Chanan of Asaman has this, you know, formulation, you know, about Shechita continuing or being, you know, as if like Shechita is Mishkadeshes, you know, Kol Rega. It's like, you know, you're in a constant state of shchita, or that the matir, you know, is working in a continuous way. That I find just a little vidochak to say that. I don't think you need to say that. Because he really says it that way, though I'm not really sure he means it that way, Right. He ends up, I think, applying it also in a very ambitious way. Maybe whenever, you know, for example, he's trying to explain this to the, you know, the discussion of the Rajba and Daptes, which we discussed already, about Machzik and Me'isar Le'isar. Right? Why should you say Machzik and Me'isar Le'isar, Abram and Achai, and the Vela? after all, now it's Shkuta. Right? So his answer to that question is, it is Shkuta, you know, but who knows whether the, it's only Shkuta because right this second, you know, it's reshechting or remattering. Probably means remattering, you know, the basar. But in theory, there could be circumstances, you know, where that won't be the case, or there, you know, until it happens. Like if you look now to the future, like if you're at T1 now, and you're looking to T, you know, plus one, right? So until it actually happens, T plus one, and then it is T1, right? So then, you know, right now there's, you know, the animal, I mean the meat is going to be absent its head there, or its shechita. He says, so that's why, you know, machzikin, it's not really machzikin be'isa le'isar, because from the perspective of now, like, you know, in a split second from now, or nanos, whatever it is, right, it's going to be nevela again. Right? So that's not machzikin be'isa le'isar. I wouldn't say it that way, frankly. I prefer to say what I said when we said it, and that is that, you know, in general, I'll give you another example of something that's very close to our hearts. One of his rayas, did you see it, Moshe? Azriel, you saw it. One of the rayas is from Yud-Zayin Amud Aleph, from the Safek of the Gemara about, you know, Knisa l'Eretz Yisrael, if you bring in the Basar Nechira from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. So it's very sharp. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says, oh, really, really, Nechiraso, Zui, Shkifaso. Right? So what's the big deal? Like, why would you think that you couldn't eat it? It has a heter. He says, if it's really true that the heter is something that takes place in time, and then you have a chetzah shel heter, then there should be no safek. But really, the idea is that Nechira was the matir. And, you know, in the next second there, the matir will continue and continue and continue, or it's like a continuous nechira. I don't like the continuous nechira a lot. I mean, I really don't like that a lot, but, you know, even the continuous I think there's something to the continuous matir. I just wouldn't say it that way. Right. I would say that the, what I like to say instead, and I think that's what the Avnei Nezer is really saying, is that, like I said before, it's not that once you do shechita, so now the identity of this object, al-pidin, is that it's a dvar heter, like it's peros v'yirakos. We always know that the only reason that it's a dvar heter is because it underwent a matir. And therefore it's past history, and you know, the chalos heter, the din heter. I think it goes back kind of to his own, remember he was saying there's no din heter. Things are mutter, unless they're aser. And I think, you know, what he's really trying to say is that when it comes to shkuta, there is a din heter. Right? This is not, oh, you could have said that. He doesn't really say that. He's saying more it's a continuous process, you know, and therefore it's always in flux, you know, and therefore it's never reliable whenever you're looking in the crystal ball, you know. What I'm saying is, no, there are certain things, there are certain heterim that are din heter. Right? There's certainly surim that probably aren't a din iser, they're just that's what they are and that's our identity. Right? Especially things that were created that way. Or but even sometimes things that are transformed by an action. The question is, does that, you know, that's the old history, that's the irrelevant history, the curious, you know, history. Right? This is how it got to what it is. And what is it now? Heter Gomor. Because the matir resides in it, or it has a chalos heter? No. Din heter? No. That's just what it, you know, it was defined differently at different stages halakhically. I think for Hatayr Ben Asurim, that's always a question. But when it comes to Shechita and its Matir component, the fact that it was subject to Shechita always matters. And that maybe even the shame, you know, of Heter Shechita is Chalalad. That's so different than saying it's like in a constant state of Shechita. So for the Nechira, for example, he says, there are two assumptions in the Nechira, or three. One is that he takes literally Nechirasa Zui Shechitasa, which we pointed out is a big issue, big argument. Maybe a transition in the Gemara itself, Bakisi Adam and so on. I was suggesting maybe that's why the Rambam didn't go for that at all, because he just thought it got edited out of the Gemara completely in the Maskana. Rabbi Chanan Vasan is saying, Nechirasa Zui Shechitasa, right? So the Nechira is the Matir. But, like Shechita, the Nechira is the Matir that's going to be renewed every second. So that's why the Gemara is saying, well, you know, now there's a new way to do the Matir. This is a post-Nechira era. So in the post-Nechira era, the Nechira that you did that was Matir continuously still continues, or now in this era it's lame, it doesn't work anymore. So now it's like pre-Nechira. Now, I would have said, even, number one, Nechirasa Zui Shechitasa, very dubious. It might just be another way of saying that you don't need Shechita. Right? And especially Legabe, this idea, what, Nechira is a Matir? Or we're saying about Nechira that, you know, at that point, there was no requirement of Shechita. And therefore, the only Hagdara of Nevela is, you know, Mesa Me'eleha, and not Nechira. And even if it's true what he says about, you know, about Shechita, and even if there's some element of Nechirasa, Zui Shechitaso, it's true Ad Kedei Kach on the Matir side, the Nechira is that kind of a Matir. Dubious. Moreover, once you come into Eretz Yisrael and the shame, let's say you did say, this is what I said when we were talking about it, let's say Nechirasa really is Shechitaso, you still might say, you know, that's a Hagdara. L'kula L'chumra, you might say this. It's a Hagdara. You know, now we have a different Hagdara. So, according to the same Hagdara, albeit applied differently, you know, what happens now? There's a reason more to be Mekel, a reason more to be Machmir, if you look at it from that point. But I guess the bigger idea is, I just don't like the whole idea of this continuous Shechita, and certainly not Legabe Nechira. I think there are other ways to explain the Safek of that Gemara, as we discussed. But you wouldn't say it his way unless he felt it his way. So his understanding of Machzika Misa Leiser, of Nechirasa Zui Shechitasa, in addition to this assumptions about the Nechira, all point to a little more of a literal understanding, you know, that he, like, he means what he says. But I just think the same idea can be said a little bit more, with a little more refinement, I think. And I think that's really what the Avni Nezer was saying, namely that, you know, hovering over, and here, what should we be saying, right? So one of two things, this Azriel's comment of the other day is very important. Number one, hovering over Shechita is its past, you know, of escaping, you know, and having been subject to Nevela and Eivar Menachah. And that's, again, I stand by what I said about the Machzikim Yisur L'Yisur. You know, it's those particular Yisurim. Again, for Abakan of Asim, it's clear that it has nothing to do with the Yisurim that were. It has to do with the, you know, anticipation or the way that it works, you know, of the Shechita and the Heter Shechita going forward. Okay. I'm saying two things. Number one, Eivar Menachah, Nevela, one, the other, or both, you know, are always kind of part of the subtext here and this dynamic. As I've said, in Cheskas Yisur, Lekula or Lechumra, but that's kind of what it is. And again, that's a Kula part too. That's number one. And number two, even separate from that, it isn't the continuous, it's not the Shechita continues, you know, just like the Maisa Kiddushin doesn't really continue necessarily, but the shame heter of shkuta. And it's saying the fact that, you know, it's not just, now it's basar she'en, you know, she'en boiser, but it's butter which was matired, that chalos is important. And that affects maybe things like yotzei menachai. Right? The problem of talayim, again, he's saying, oh, the talayim is because now the talayim have appeared, and they're not subject. You did the shechita on the talayim part. Right? The continuous shechita doesn't get applied to talayim. I wouldn't say that. I would say the din of yotzei menachai or menaheter, maybe that's something that applies to something which is like fruits and vegetables. Meaning it's a dvar heter. Oh, this became a dvar heter, let's say for the other Rishonim, because you did a shechita to it, so now it's basar shkuta, which has no iser. Fine. But if we say, or if we take the view that there's some continuousness in the shame and in the chalos, right, and even in the maisa shechita itself, that's like the hovering of the, so that's not yotzei menachai exactly. You're allowed to eat the basar, right? But it's not like yotzei menachai or yotzei menaheter. This is yotzei midavar shenitar, not yotzei menaheter, if you can say it that way. Again, that's an interesting second question. But who did the gabe the bittul problem? So the way he's explaining the bittul problem is there's a, you know, it's, you know, once you have this taroves and this rove nevela, so we're not going to be able to continuously, perceive that the shechita is taking place or that the heter shechita, you know, is being applied. I would say more like, since the shame shechuta or the shame nitar of shechuta is necessary, that's a din. That din can be batel or lost. Okay, so Azriel raised the question to me after the shir last time that maybe there's an afkamina a little bit between what I'm saying and this other formulation, and that is, let's say the tarobes, yeah, the tarobes of shechita, not with Avraham and Achai and Nevela, by this case in Menachos is Nevela, but with some other macholos asuros. I have to figure out what that would be, but whatever. Right? Would you still apply this din? So I'm not sure that the answer is no, because I'm trying to say two things here. But I do think that it's a really good point, and the answer is maybe. Meaning, with regard to the Vela and this dynamic, you know, that certainly is different than just looking at this as a miut, you know, betoch harot. In addition to that, whether the shame shchuta and the nitar aspect, as opposed to be, you know, heterhu, you know, whether that also impacts, you know, and therefore something that can be lost, you can lose it going forward, but not because it regenerates every second, you know, and therefore the next, you know, what it is now does nothing to do with what it's going to be in the future. That's what I don't like. It's hutar. It's nitar. But there's still something there. Mashal Madover Doma. There's a big debate in the Rishonim. Can you be mevatel the, since we have Gittin people here all over the place, can you be mevatel the lishma of a get once the lishma is there? That's a major debate. Depends how you read two Gemaras, one in Kedusha, one in Gittin. And I'm seeing flickers of recognition. Yeah? Yeah? Okay? And Machlokas are Rishonim, different views in Balitosis, right? So some Rishonim say, how can you be Mavata Lishma? Let's say you wrote a Sefer Torah, Lishma. So then, and you're the Bailin. You commissioned it, you paid for it. It was your hard-earned money. You worked for that money, Mr. Breen. But, so you can be Mavata the Lishma in a Sefer Torah? The answer is no. That's what Rishonim says. So how can there be views in the, either in the Gemara or the Rishonim say, can be vatal or lishma of a get? The answer is, so the Rav just say two things. Number one, it's explained in the Rishonim, it's mefurish in the Rishonim. But it's just, but the language is good. Number one, once you write, you have commissioned the Sefer Torah, right? You're not a bailim on the, I mean, you're a bailim in Dini Momenes, but you're not a bailim on the Kiddush of the Sefer Torah. You're like anybody else. You might have, again, Dini Momenes writes, you can tell, you know, who's going to get Shlishi, I'm not sure. You know, which shul's going to keep it, you know, whether you're going to take it on the skiing trip, if you stay a long time, if you're allowed to go skiing, the check, got to go through my willig. right? So that's one. You don't have access to Lishma of the Sefer Torah, you know, from the Lishma point. But more importantly, the other idea in the Rishonim, it seems to be a different day as in Tosas, is that certain Lishmas are part of the process. And then you have like a certain, you do have a chalos, but it's an untouchable. It's part of the, you know, it's like the, in, you know, it's now part of the definition. Others, it's like part of the chepta, you know, this is, and it's accessible. So in a get, the point is it's a chepta of get lishma, and you can, you know, you have the bailus, because you're the bailim, and you also, it's there. It's not just the history, you know, of, you know, what gives it this definition at the moment. It's like a pulsating lishma, you know. but I don't mean that it's regenerating every second. That's the only part I don't like. It's not regenerating every second, but it's an accessible chalos in the chefza. Therefore, you can be mevatel it. So too, there's a view, and this view in the Rishonim would be saying, you know, that the din, if you will, of the heter, b'achilas basar al yidei shechita, right, is, that's no longer accessible to the bailim, to one who did the ma'is shechita. That's for sure not. But it's accessible, you know, in the right way, as a chefza. Again, it's nitar, not hutar, or not dvar heter, or davar shehu mutar. Very subtle difference. You get the idea. Okay. That is in terms of that issue. Interesting, two points just to add very quickly. The Avnei Nezer just has the Ha'ara, which I think is really interesting. He says, you know, I'd be okay with all this. He kind of says this idea. Not the regenerating part, but the fact that the, you know, that this is a davarshan hutar al yidei shechita, and therefore there's a way to kind of remove that heter. Again, removability, like we're saying, is not so identical to regeneration every second. But then he says, it still bothers me that this bitol, you know, of the miut to the rov, to the vela, applies not only to the question of heter achilas basar, but even to tuma. Like, so this worked for Tumas Nevela? So you remove the matir of the Shechita in terms of the Achila. Right? But that makes it Tumas Nevela? So I think that's a really interesting point. If the idea was, getting back to Azriel's Ara, only about Heter Shechita and Basar Shechuta being Mitar and so on and so on, everything we're saying now, and I think that the Avnei Nezer Sahara is particularly, you know, pointed, right? But if it also has to do more particularly with the relationship between Shechita and Nevela, the ability to kind of lapse back into Nevela, you know, once you neutralize the Matir, then I think that might really have also to do with the Tumah. That's A. B, you know, it's an equal opportunity here. There are B'chon of Asim, and I think in the end of the piece, he says, you know, kind of, my words, he did such a good job, you know, kind of explaining this whole thing. He says, so now we can really understand why even the Ramban would be okay, you know, with the implication of the Gemara in Menachos, which is that the miut of Shkuta could be batel to the rove of Nevela. Right? Great. He says, however, again, I'm reformulating it, you know, now maybe we should have a little bit of a problem you know, with the what the Gemara actually does say, forget about the implication, which is exactly the opposite, which is what happens when you have Nevela, right, that is Nisarev Bishkuta. It sounds like, you know, it becomes completely Shkuta, in the same way that the Shkuta might have become completely Nevela. Again, no one's so bothered per se by the Nefach problem. Like, does this prove Nefach? Or Rubo Kikulo, or this din idea, because they'll say, you know, there's nothing in the Gemara that says that the miyud is completely gone. It's in the other direction implication because it sounds like it's tumas nevela. So you're saying the miyud becomes the robe. Not necessarily have to say in this direction, but once you're saying it in that direction by the implication, it sounds like the whole thing, the whole Gemara is that way. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman kind of says, like, why should nevela turn into shkuta legamri? Like 100%. Right? Unless you say again, maybe that the din iser is batel, but it sounds like, you know, that the Ramban was, you know, or others at least would have some problems with that. But if we say that in addition to the matir shkuta part, that there's also another element here, and that is more particularly this dynamic between the Vela or and Eber Menachai and Shechita, then the idea that it can go in either direction, especially, again, going back to some of the Lashonos, you know, and the perspectives, you know, that Nevela isn't really so bad. Maybe Nevela isn't a din Iser, you know, in the normal way. It's just, you know, the Chiyuv Shechita is the father, you know, of the Nevela. Again, like Ramban says about Trefa, like Rav Ramban Rambam says about Nevela, like the way the Sfarno reads that pasuk about Nevela, right? Again, that doesn't mean that's no din, it's just they're saying it's Kedushas Yisrael, but all I'm saying is that the opposite direction might be easier, you know, to understand also if you think it's a Nevela issue. Okay, that's that. Then we're going to stop in a minute, but just at least introduce the topic so we can make some strides on Sunday. Now let's talk about, for a day or so, about Tumah. Speaking of dinim, right? So, So our Gemara introduces the idea that the Mishnah may be talking about what? Yitzchak? Kulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. And that may explain, right, this whole lechatchila and b'diavad idea. Right, and then the Gemara on Gimel Amud Beis, hopefully then you should read through the Shach V'Tari of Gimel Amud Beis, because now it's all connected, you know, has this, says, well, one of the reasons people may not like that answer, it's like, it's because, or you didn't get the Gimel Amud Beis? It's because Schul Shinasu al Taras HaKodesh, maybe there's a Mandamar who thinks that it isn't Kodesh. Okay. Agav, before the Gemara, you know, comes to this answer, right? Yeah. The Gemara has a line when it says, like, what are you talking about here? You worried about Tumma we're talking about? You have that line in the Gemara here on Beis on Beis? Like Myla Memra or something like that? Say again? That's the question, right? So when they say the line in the Gemara seems to reject that, right? Gemara says, Chulin, if we're talking about Chulin, then Tumma Maila Memra, what's the line, Leon? No. Before that. The Gemara says, we're talking about a Tamei, maybe the Lechatchila, but the Avid is a Tamei who's doing Shechita, right? Again, Tamei Bechulin Maila Memra. If we're collecting Lashonos or Makoros, that's a good line. Except that's not the one you think you have to collect, typically. Meaning, that's the one that seems to be saying what we're all, you know, what's on all of our mind. Like when you read that line in the Gemara, Tuma, well, again, what's the line again? Tamei Bechulin Maila Memra. Right? You know, we could have all said that. And then Tosus jumps in and says what? Tosus is bothered by it. No? Yeah. Yeah, keep going, Tosus. So Tosa, basically, you have this terrific line in the Gemara, but again, it doesn't you know, make the radar our radar, because like we're very conditioned to know that that the world of Tumah is irrelevant to Chulin. This Gemara says it. But then if you read Tosos, you get, you know, a little bit of a startle, right? Your whole worldview, you know, is rocked, right? And then you wonder, like, what else have I missed? Right? It's like an epiphanous moment, you know, but hopefully an inspiring one, not you know, a crisis that leads to, you know, to enlightenment, hopefully. So with this line of the Gemara, what Tosus capture, and with larger discussion, maybe what Tosus captures, is a big question, which we're just going to spend like, you know, one shiur on, one and a half probably. And that is, really, how do we look at Tumah, right, in the world of Chulin? I'll just identify, since we're running late, maybe, let's just, you know, for if it's helpful, three perspectives. Right. One is the line of the Gemara, and that is that Chulin, you know, does not allow, that Chulin and Tahara are just meaningless combination. Basically, I think one could identify, broadly speaking, three approaches. One is that the concepts of Tumah v'Tahara, or the aspiration to be Tahar, and the avoidance of Tumah, which is a very hard thing, by the way, in living in the physical world, you know, it's a very hard thing, especially since you're supposed to interact with other people, you're supposed to be involved in all sorts of experiences. Very, very hard to be Shomer Taharos. So, on the other hand, let's say, the concepts of the categories of Taharos, of Prisha, you know, of living in, you know, such a scrupulous, you know, have such scrupulous standards, you know, of what it is that you, you know, come in contact with, such care, let's say, of, you know, remaining, you know, pure or pristine or, you know, obviously, you know, it's incredibly difficult, right? On the other hand, it looks like it could be something that is very, axiologically, you know, significant, right, to live that kind of a life. Again, when we're learning the Nedarim Sugya a little bit, and really the subtext of everything we've been discussing, right, and including the last topic, you know, Shkita comes from the world of Kachim, you need a Matir, the Matir's alive, the Matir needs regeneration, you have to elevate, you know, Achilas Basar, and other things, right, this is the whole question. Right? When we talked about Nedarim, I read the Rabbi Yonah said that, Darim Siag L'Prisha. So I mentioned that, you know, some of the Rishonim say, Prisha, you know, that, like, the whole Prisha is part of the dialectic and part of the, you know, ambivalent, you know, like the Rashbats and the Magen Avos and that Mishnah and all those, you know. And then there was Rabbi Yonah who was kind of saying, well, you know, you don't have to do it. And there are times when it's probably not good, but like, you know, the capacity, you know, to live a life of Tahara and Prisha, that's very, very idealistic. Right, in a world of Makshava, you know, and again, this is endemic to all discussions of man and his physical and spiritual dialectic, as, you know, Bereishis Bara Elokim, Meis HaShemayim Es HaAretz, you know, right from the beginning, all the Mefarshim pile on. And then, of course, even more, Tzelem Elokim, and, you know, Vayitzer with the two yuds, and, you know, Afar Min Adama, Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim. Right? This is like a big, big, you know, issue in all religions, but especially, you know, in Yahadus. And you can identify, on the one hand, this idea of, well, you have to live in the real world. It's almost impossible to do that, but tahara, and the downplaying. Or, on the contrary, this is how we, you know, kiva yom hazeh chafeh alechem letaher eschem mikol chatoseichem lefnei Hashem titaharu, right? The Shabbos Shabboson, the most important day of the year, Achas Bashana, is a day which is defined by tahara. So I think you could identify, I keep saying it, three perspectives, which is all closed for today, and just spend a little time. But it's a massive topic, as you can, it's a lifelong topic. One is to downgrade or downplay the role of tahara. And maybe even in kachim to see it not as a end in its own right, or something that is intrinsically important, but as these other preconditions. If you want to, in the world of Kedusha, right, Kedusha requires, Kedusha certainly is good, but Kedusha requires the prerequisite of Tahara. In order to, you know, to have the experience, the matir for the experience of Kedusha is the framework and the background, maybe the hard work, or maybe the result of tahara. Tahara is a tanai in Kedusha, essentially. That's one way to look at it. In which case, you know, there's no, it's not that, yeah, okay, we'll leave it at that. That's one way. The second way, just give me 1 second, and then we'll, the second way is the opposite way. There's a category of tahara in Torah. Of course, it's a requirement in Kedusha. And in Kadshim, the Truma, and Maaseh Sheni, and so on and so forth. But, you know, not just as a prerequisite, you know, likely the reason it's a prerequisite is because it's intrinsically, you know, a very valued way to live. Maybe it's the most ideal way to live. Of course, you know, we're not going to impose that, you know, on Chulin, because there are other obligations and it's very difficult to attain. Maybe the best way to best policy or strategy, you know, for projecting tahara in the world, you know, is to be discerning about it. You know, tafasta meruba kind of lo tafasta. Or it's overridden by some other important obligations, you know, and so on. So the physicality part gets in the way, and the ability to do this properly, if you can't do it, is discouraging and undermining. And therefore, one of those reasons is a different reason, but... And therefore, the way that we mostly express the larger universal ideal of tahara is in kachim. But in theory, you know, the fact that it is so in kachim, you know, connects it also to chulin too. Lu yitzuyar, somebody could be tahar in context of chulin. That would be admirable. I wouldn't be a yorah. I wouldn't be a kumra. You know, without significance. It would be admirable, and it would be a chalos of some sort, and it would be significant. That's the second perspective. And of course, the middle perspective is that tahara is very important, and it manifests itself. However, maybe it isn't, you know, so important in a chulin, you know, construct or framework or context. Right, but the fact that in Kadshim, tahara plays the role, the prominent role that it does, and the prerequisite role that it does, is not just a technicality, but it is the proper expression, right, of that value. Right, so it's not that you know b'dieved, it doesn't apply to kulin and l'chatchila, it does, but it's also not, you know, just a narrow prerequisite. It's something that is expressed, you know, in the context of kachim, maybe in other contexts, too. Yeah, there's a question. Yeah.
Do you have a question? Is it the text of the Seder Mitzvah is Taharas is after kachim? Is that like the first thing that they say Taharas?
Right, and in the Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, you know, Tahara is like a goal. Right. I think a good point. It's hard to know what to make of it, but. Okay, so what I want to do just very quickly is talk about, you know, how do we look at, you know, tahara in chulin, both as, you know, lehatchila, what expressions of that. Shmira mimenu, you know, achila, becoming tameh. But very quickly, but some of the makaros I can't chose to look at. Now, the question of kulin shenasal, Taharas HaKodesh, is a really interesting thing, because you could just say that it's a narrow issue. It's like a very, it belongs, you know, it's like a targil for kadshin, you know. But another way to look at it is that it's exactly the issue that we're talking about. Namely, it's, you know, how we look at people who, you know, not who are motivated by, like, a passion for kachem or truma or maizer sheni, but who are looking to expand their footprint, you know, in the world of tahara. So we'll speak more generally about these questions, but also more specifically, I gave you Mar Makomos, what does it mean, chulin shenasu al taharas hakodesh? If it's kakodesh, what does it apply to? What doesn't? It's a Gemara in Chagiga, part of your testament based to Kof. You know, there's a Gemara later on, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Al, Lamed Hey, Lekulin, that gave you some things to look at. You should just look at very quickly the Mishnah also in the Gemara in Nida, and Ayin Aleph and Aleph. Those are the person who discussed that, the scope of this a lot was the Mikdash David. And Akronim make note of it. I think it's Simen Nun, maybe, if you get a chance. But I'll talk about it. I want to do all this basically in a day or two. Most, because I don't want to get bogged down with it. But what is the general, some of the general views about chulin in chulin and tahara, and more specifically chulin shenasal taharas hakodesh, kichulin or kikachim lo kikachim? What does that mean in terms of practical nafkamina? And again, what are the implications of it? Okay, so do that, and after that we'll talk about the sharei and kerav kachalal, and then the manus of mumar.